Well, thus far we've seen the faithful witness. Christ as the faithful witness of God for the testimony of Jesus. Amen. We've seen Christ as the one who has the keys of death and of Hades. Amen. We've seen Christ as the Son of Man walking among the churches. And tonight we come to Christ. Amen. As the Lion Lamb. Amen. Christ, 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 Christ. Amen. Before touching this outline, I would like to mention three things and use some footnotes. Direct your attention to these notes. I don't know if you have it there to read along, but I'll mention the note. The three points I'd like to mention for number one is the revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Number two, signs. Revelation, this book, is a book of signs. And then number three, I'd like to emphasize again, Brother Ed mentioned this in the prior message, in spirit. The need for us to be in spirit to see the visions in this book. And so for the first point, I'd like to read just a brief, some portions from the very first footnote in the book, in the recovery version of the book of Revelation. And so this is Revelation 1:1, note 1. Okay. And the first, it's three paragraphs. I won't read the whole thing. The first line, as the last book of the Bible, Revelation is the conclusion, completion, and consummation of the entire divine revelation, the whole Bible. The end of this paragraph, it says, hence, most of the things covered in this book are absolutely not new, but are in the preceding books and are perfected in this book, the focus of which is the unique, ultimate revelation of Christ. Amen. The particular, consummate testimony of Jesus and the universal, eternal economy of God. Amen. The last paragraph, and this is really the burden I'd like to convey to you. The whole Bible reveals Christ. The book of Revelation, especially as the conclusion, completion, and consummation of the whole Bible, is the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is the final book. And how does it begin? The revelation of Jesus Christ. Although this book also reveals many other things, the focus of its revelation is Christ. Several aspects concerning Christ, such as the vision of Christ as the high priest in the midst of the churches, caring for them in love, yet with a judging attitude. That was the prior message. This message. The vision of him as the Lion Lamb in the midst of God's throne and of the four living creatures and in the midst of the 24 elders of the universe, opening the seven seals of God's universal administration. And the vision of him as another strong angel coming down out of heaven to take possession of the earth. That's a coming message. Were never unveiled as they are in this book. Saints, I hope no one would be disappointed. I don't know what you were looking for or anticipating as you're coming to this training. What will the brothers cover? The brothers are going to cover Christ. Amen. Remember our banner. Remember what we're doing here through these four trainings. This is what? Enjoying, experiencing, and expressing Christ. Amen. So I hope you're not disappointed. We're not talking about locusts and frogs and all those kind of things. We're going to focus on Christ, on Christ. Okay, the second point, signs, and this has been alluded to by the brothers already, but I'd like to point, bring your attention to note number two in Revelation 1:1. The revelation of this book is composed mainly of signs, that is, symbols with spiritual significance, such as the seven lampstands, signifying the seven churches, the seven stars, signifying the messengers of the churches, etc. Even the New Jerusalem is a sign, signifying the ultimate consummation of God's economy. This book, then, is a book of signs through which the revelation is made known. And I like to highlight, even the New Jerusalem. I was a believer before coming to the church life. I had a different view or concept of this New Jerusalem. And we need that washed away by the pure word. Not washed away by the pure word. The New Jerusalem is not that so-called heaven. It's not a place. It's not a physical place. And it's not a physical building. We'll come back to that later in the message, in the outline. It is actually the consummation of God's work in all his people throughout the ages. It is a living composition of all God's redeemed throughout all the generations, right? To be his bride, to be the house of God. Anyway, we'll come back to that. I also want to read just one sentence, or maybe a sentence and a half, from this note in Revelation 20, let's see, 21, 2. Revelation chapter 21, verse 2. There's a note on New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem. Just this line. The revelation of this book is composed of signs because of the profundity of the great and important matters in this book. It is difficult for man to speak of them exhaustively in plain words because of the profundity of the great and important matters in this book. Thus, all these matters are symbolized and depicted by signs, such as the lampstand, the stars, and so on. Okay, one more note. I would like to stress again what Brother Ed mentioned about the four great visions in this book. Because actually, the first great vision is related to the prior message. The second vision is touched in this message, the beginning of that great vision. This is chapter 1, verse 10. Chapter 1, verse 10, and note 1 on the word in spirit. I was in spirit on the Lord's day. This book stresses not only the spirit of God as the sevenfold intensified spirit for God's intensified move, but also our human spirit as the organ for us to realize and respond to God's move. Only spirit, that is our spirit, can respond to spirit, God's spirit. This book is composed of four major visions. Number one, the vision of the churches. Number two, the vision of the destiny of the world. Number three, the vision of Babylon the Great. And four, the vision of the New Jerusalem. John was in his spirit when he saw these four visions. That is, he received the revelation of the mystery of Christ in his spirit, according to what is mentioned in Ephesians 3:5. We too need to be in our spirit to see the visions in this book. It is a matter not merely of mental understanding in our mind, but of spiritual realization in our spirit. Amen. Amen. So, saints, we need to be in spirit, exercising to see the vision. We can only see the vision in spirit. Okay, now we come to the outline. Actually, first, the scripture reading. And I'd like to read these verses to all of us. Of course, if you have the Bible with you, feel free to read along. But I will read. Okay, Revelation 5, verses 5 through 10. And one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has overcome so that he may open the scroll and its seven seals." And I would just bring your attention to the way this verse is structured. He overcame. He overcame not just to defeat the enemy, he overcame so that he may open the scroll. I hope you pay attention to this. We'll come to this at the end. So that he may open the scroll and its seven seals. And I saw in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders, a lamb standing as having just been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sits upon the throne. And when he took the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which bowls are the prayers of the saints. And they sing a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have purchased for God by your blood men out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign on the earth." Amen. Amen. Okay, now the outline. Romans 1. The book of Revelation is a picture of Jesus Christ. I hope we're clear about this by now. The 22 chapters of this book are a single portrait portraying and depicting Jesus. Amen. Not just depicting Christ, depicting Jesus. I hope we were touched by that in the prior message, the endurance, the kingdom in Jesus. Romans 2, "Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome." Of course, this is the quotation from the verse. Actually, we still need a little background here to understand this, because as I mentioned, the second vision, the destiny of the world, it begins with chapter 4, and this is a continuation of the proceedings in chapter 4. Of course, chapter 5 just flows into it. And what happens there? Well, I'll read chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. "After these things I saw, and a door opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, 'Come up here!'" Saints, come up here! "And I will show you the things that must take place after these things. Immediately I was in spirit, and behold, there was a throne set in heaven." So, John, he responded to this call, and he was brought there to the throne. Can you picture this, saints? And he saw there one on the throne, and there's some description. And there are 24 thrones with the angelic elders there, and the four living creatures. And then he notices in chapter 5, he notices that the one on the throne, he has a scroll in his hand. So 5:1 says, "And I saw on the right hand of him who sits upon the throne, a scroll written within and on the back, sealed up with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and to break its seals?'" So maybe John was waiting. Who's worthy? Who's worthy? And so as he's waiting, he says, "And no one in heaven or on earth nor under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it." So he started to weep. It says, "And I wept much because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it." And then one of the elders says, "Do not weep." Then here, verse 2. "Don't weep, don't weep. There's one worthy. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah." Can you see this scene, saints? He must have turned to see. Where's this lion? Let's read about the lion. "The lion is a symbol of Christ, portraying him as a strong fighter against the enemy, as revealed in Genesis 49, verses 8 and 9. I'll read verse 9 here. Genesis 49:9. "Judah is a young lion. From the prey, P-R-E-Y, from the prey, my son, you have gone up. He couches, he stretches out like a lion. So Judah is a lion. Now Jesus is the fulfillment of that. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. What kind of lion is this? Firstly, it's an overcoming lion, a victorious lion. It says, you came up from the prey. You know, when the lion is in his lair, maybe he's looking, he sees some prey. Then he goes down and descends. But to come up from the prey means it's already done. Sometimes the lion even would drag its prey up back to the lair to enjoy it. And then after he's done, he couches there. That's our Christ. He's the fighting lion and he's the couching lion. Because it's already won. Praise the Lord. B, Christ. Christ's overcoming qualifies him to open the scroll and its seven seals. We'll come back to this. See, the title, Root of David, signifies that Christ is the source of David. Therefore, David, his forefather, called him Lord. D, as the lion of the tribe of Judah, Christ overcame and defeated the rebellious Satan, the enemy of God, and as the redeeming lamb, he took away the sin of fallen man. By so doing, this is a major point, saints. By so doing, he removed the hindrances to the fulfillment of God's purpose. The result is that he is worthy to open the scroll concerning God's economy. John was there. The scroll was there, but it was sealed. No one worthy. God had a situation. You might even say he had a problem. Actually, really, God has only had these two problems. One is the rebellion of Satan. The second is the fall of man. These two, God had his purpose. He created man in his image and with his dominion. But we know his intention was the tree of life. And by life, he would eventually get a corporate expression of himself. That's Genesis 1 and 2. But we know in Genesis 3, the serpent came in and damaged something. Of course, we already know before this was the rebellion. So that Satan came in to cause the fall of man. And God needed someone to solve these two problems. Who could solve it? The lion lamb. Because as the lion, he defeated the enemy. As the lamb, he redeemed us. Now, these two problems are out of the way. You know, it says in Hebrews 2, that by taking on flesh and blood, this one, Christ, he destroyed the one who had the might of death, that is the devil. He took him out of the way. And then his precious blood redeems us. Saints, the way to the tree of life is opened again. There is a new and living way. Now God can accomplish his purpose. So he had someone. This Christ, this lion lamb, was the unique one to open the scroll because he solved all of God's problems. Actually, saints, these two problems, consider, they're really the source of every problem you and I have. Any problem internally, anything in our families, any conflict in our countries, between countries, everything, the source is these two problems. The lion lamb is the one who solved these two problems. He's the worthy one, not just to meet our need. He's the worthy one to meet God's need. So that makes him the worthy to open that scroll. Praise the Lord for our lion lamb. Maybe I should read this about the scroll. I like to read he's worthy to open the scroll. In chapter 5, verse 1, I want to read these two short notes, very brief. In 5:1, notes 1 and 2, concerning the scroll and the seven seals. Concerning the scroll, note 5:1:1 says, this scroll must be the new covenant, the grand title deed in the universe, enacted with the blood of the Lamb for God's redemption of the church, Israel, the world, and the universe. This book is a record of God's thought concerning the church, Israel, the world, and the universe. Praise the Lord for this scroll. Actually, we'll see later, this scroll actually contains all the mysteries of this universe. 5:1, note 2, on the seven seals. The seven seals with which the scroll is sealed up are actually the contents of the scroll and the contents of the book of Revelation. As the lion lamb opens one seal, things occur. You know, when you read through the book, right? You read through from following this section. And as he opens another scroll, another thing. He opens another scroll, another thing. Until eventually, what comes out? New Jerusalem. Praise the Lord for this scroll. The book of Revelation is just the opening, the unveiling of the seven seals. Actually, brothers and sisters, in this training is also the opening of the seven seals. The lion lamb is here. Still opening. We need to see the visions of what's contained in this scroll. Okay, Roman 3. Let's go to Roman 3. I saw in the midst of the throne, remember, said, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah. I saw in the midst of the throne a lamb standing as having just been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. A says, in chapter 5 is the scene in the heavens after Christ ascended there. Saints, to me it's an amazing thing that we have a window. God gives us a view of what happened there. In the third heaven, in ascension, before the throne, God sent a message to John, come up here. So John went up there, and it seems like he brought all of us with him. I hope we can see what's up here. Come up here in our spirit. Remember, Christ is the heavenly ladder. John tells us this. Actually, John tells us that the Lord told us this. In John 1, he's the ladder that connects heaven and earth. I hope tonight we're all on the ladder. And there's a lot of traffic going on, so we could see what's this scene. Oh, the scene in the heavens after Christ ascended there. That we could have this sight to see the state of heaven at this juncture. One, he was recommended to the Apostle John as the lion of the tribe of Judah, but he appeared to John as the lamb. As the lion, he's the fighter against the enemy. As the lamb, he is the redeemer for us. He fought to redeem us, and he won the battle over the enemy and accomplished redemption for us. To the enemy, he is a lion. And to us, he is a lamb. Hence, he is the lion lamb. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. He's the one. He not only now met God's need, he also meets our need along the way. Because he deals with these two great stumblings that we have. Sin and Satan. Aren't these a problem? Maybe still for you. In our daily living, sometimes even just sitting here, the mind, sin and Satan. But we have the lion lamb. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. But so to you, what is he? Amen. I hope so. I hope so. Because he's the lamb to all who love him. But he's the lion to the enemy. He's a lion to the world. He's a lion to sin. He's a lion to all the negative things in the universe. Last night we heard, and some of you just testified on the testing. There's some things deep within us. This personal, your abyss. We're not touching your abyss. I have to consider, oh Lord, my abyss. You know what comes out of the abyss? The spirit of the Antichrist. One day that's actually going to happen. The spirit of the Antichrist is coming out of the abyss. When I was pondering this today, I realized that there are things that are Antichrist that come out of my abyss. Sorry. Sorry, saints. Sorry to my family. Sorry to the brothers that I serve with. Things come out. Oh, Lord Jesus, I still need the lion.
Amen.
Do you still need the lion?
Amen.
The lion to defeat Satan.
Amen.
Within me. Within my depths. Praise the Lord. He's also the Redeemer.
Amen.
He's always the Redeemer. I'm so happy that in Revelation 22, there's a lamb on the throne.
Amen.
Forever. The Lamb, we'll be reminded, the Lamb is there on the throne. Praise the Lord. B says, as far as redemption is concerned, Christ sat down at the right hand of God in the heavens after his ascension. Whereas regarding the carrying out of God's administration, he is still standing in his ascension. We have the verses here, Hebrews 1:3 and 10:12. They both say, having made purification of sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. That's chapter 1, verse 3. And then 10:12 says, but this, having offered one sacrifice for sins, sat down. But in Revelation 5, this lamb is not sitting. This lamb is standing. Because he's still working to carry out God's administration. This is just like in Acts 7, when his dear lover was being stoned, Stephen, and he sees heaven open, and he sees the Son of Man standing, not sitting, standing at the right hand of God. Our Lamb is standing. Praise the Lord. He's still fighting for us. He's still the fighting Redeemer. C says, having just been slain, indicates that the Lamb had just been slain, and also that the scene in the heavens that is depicted in Revelation 5 took place immediately after Christ's ascension into the heavens. D is marvelous. The Lord has seven horns. John was there. He was weeping. He saw the scroll. Nobody worthy. He's weeping. The elder says, behold the lion. Then he turns, but he sees a lamb. I was touched by this. Not a sheep, but a lamb. That's more tender than seeing a lion, right? But not so fast. The lion has seven horns and seven eyes. So you don't get the feeling of a cuddly. You understand? He has seven horns. He's a fighting Redeemer.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. One says horns signify strength in fighting. It's from Deuteronomy 33:17. And his horns are the horns of the wild ox. And with them he shall drive peoples to the ends of the earth. 2. Christ is the redeeming lamb, yet he has horns for fighting. He is the fighting Redeemer.
Amen.
His fighting is complete in God's move, as signified by the number 7. Of course, at the beginning of Revelation, a lot of sevens. Seven. At the end of Revelation, a lot of 12. Right? Today, we are a 7, but we're going to be a 12.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. That means completion in God's move. So, we do have a complete redemption. We do have. We can rest on God's complete redemption. Okay. Now, the seven eyes. There's seven horns for fighting and seven eyes. The seven eyes are for observing and searching. Christ, as the redeeming Lamb, has seven observing and searching eyes for executing God's judgment upon the universe to fulfill God's eternal purpose, which will consummate in the building up of the new Jerusalem. And I'd like to say again, because I know we have new ones, young ones among us. We don't like to take this for granted. New Jerusalem, building the New Jerusalem, is not a physical thing. You know, there's a misconception, actually very prevalent in Christianity, concerning something physical there. I was raised in the Brethren denomination. Even there, as a child, I learned a song, I still remember, about walking on a golden street. So I thought, one day, I'm going to walk on a golden street, and I'm waiting for my mansion. Because in John 14, the Lord talks, says, I go to prepare a place for you. In the Recovery Version, it says, in my Father's house are many abodes. Many abodes, which is the root of the word, the same root as abide in John 15, which talks about the mutual abiding of God and man. But the King James says, in my Father's house are many mansions. And so that I was taught that as a child. It took time for that to be washed away. So I thought about a physical place, right? A physical building. No, saints, no, no. Revelation is a book of signs. Signs. And so, in the Old Testament, this was mentioned in the prior meeting, that the New Jerusalem is the bride of Christ. You think Christ is going to marry a city? Is Christ going to marry Los Angeles? No, Christ is marrying a person. Amen. And the Old Testament, this is what I was going to say, in the Old Testament and New Testament, repeatedly, it refers to God's people as his bride, as his wife, and he's the husband. And also repeatedly, from the Old Testament to the New, it talks about his people are his house, his dwelling place. So do you think throughout the whole Bible, he's talking about his people, but at the end, it's something physical? Does it make sense? Oh, saints. Anyway, we need the washing of the water in the Word. Yes, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. Remember? He said that in John 4. I go to prepare a place for you. I thought, the Lord has been away 2,000 years because it took him so long. He's still building. Do you understand? He's going to prepare a place, some physical place. I had that thought once upon a time. But then he says, so that where I am, you also may be. In the same portion, where I am, you also may be. Where was he? He was right there with them. Where I am. But he told us so many times, I'm in my Father. And he in me, and I in you. And then in 14:6, he says, I am the way, the reality, and the life. No one can come to the Father. So the place, if you want a place, the place is the Father. Amen. He made a place for us in the Father. Amen. To abide in him. And then he and us, it's the mutual abode. So this new Jerusalem is just the consummation of that mutual abode. God and man, man and God. But here, this point, though, tells us how God will get that. How? By the seven eyes. Seven observing, searching eyes. I learned some names here. This is James, no? James. And Samuel. Okay, now I know. So good you're there, smiling. Imagine the whole meeting. I only look at you. Would you feel so comfortable? I give the whole message, but I only look at you. And you're not doing anything wrong. But I think you still would not be comfortable. Imagine if I had seven eyes. But our lion lamb does have seven eyes. And it says it goes to and fro over the whole earth. Wherever we are, the seven eyes are there. Observing No one can escape the observing and the searching of the seven eyes. Sometimes we're not so happy the seven eyes are there, but the seven eyes are there. I remember this was some time ago in the morning. I was a young believer, and in the morning I was with the Lord. I said, Lord, and I just, sometimes it feels difficult to break through. I didn't have that much sensation. And I thought, Lord, where are you? Kind of like this. In the evening, I remember, in the evening, after the meeting, I went somewhere with some friends. So interesting. When I got there to that house, seven eyes. Like the presence of the Lord was so strong. You know, our brother said before, when you have, that's why we do appreciate, all of us appreciate your smiling eyes, your support. Because when we have your eyes, we have your presence. We have your presence. Yes. So in the morning, I'm praying, Lord, where are you? I feel like I don't have his presence. Now I'm where I shouldn't be. But he's there. Seven eyes. What are you doing here? So what am I doing here? Leaving. I'm leaving. Oh, Lord Jesus, forgive me. I remember I got to my car and I could breathe again. Oh, Lord, we can't escape the seven eyes. Searching. You know, we'll touch this in the next point in the seven spirits. But in the seven eyes are the seven spirits. And in chapter 4, verse 5, it says that the seven spirits are seven lamps of fire. So these eyes are burning. Wow. They're searching and burning eyes. Praise the Lord. No one can escape. No one can escape the searching of the eyes to expose everything in our life. Even to expose every secret of our life. Every secret thought. You know, in the Psalms, I think it's 25, Lord, forgive me of my secret faults. We have secret things that happen here. The seven eyes sees them all. Number two, in Zechariah 3:9, Christ is prophesied as the stone, the top stone with seven eyes for God's building. And Zechariah is a book on visions. In Zechariah 3:9, I'll read the first part. For here is the stone that I have set before Joshua. Upon one stone are seven eyes. Can you imagine? A stone. But on the stone, seven eyes. Of course, the stone is for building. The stone implies building. Building. Why would a stone need to have eyes? You know, the Lord Jesus, he is the stone with the seven eyes. You know, the Lord likens himself to a stone in Matthew. In Matthew 21, in his final visit to Jerusalem, he said this, you, the stone which the builders rejected. He considered the Jewish leaders were builders. They should have been building God's house. The stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. So he was saying, I'm a stone. But this stone has seven eyes. So do you see, because of seven eyes, because of this mention of seven eyes, the lion lamb in Revelation 5 is connected with the stone in Zechariah 3. Wow. So, he is not only the lamb. He is not only the lion lamb. He is the lion lamb stone. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. With seven eyes. I hope you see this connection. This is too meaningful. This is the way God will get the new Jerusalem. Amen. Through those seven eyes. He is the lamb. No, he's the lion to defeat God's enemy. He's the lamb to redeem us. Amen. And then he's the stone to build God's house. He's our lion, lamb, stone. But we need the seven eyes. Or I should say, he needs the seven eyes to run to and fro over the whole earth. That's the next point here. These seven eyes are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth, and they run to and fro through the whole earth. Actually, these seven eyes are the executors carrying out God's New Testament economy. One day, I was just a kid, minding my own business, there in Brooklyn, New York, playing basketball, baseball, caught up with sports. One day, seven eyes found me, and started to work in me to be in God's building. I had known him as the lamb a little bit. I even knew him a little bit as the lion. I didn't know him as the stone. But the seven eyes started to do a work in me and brought me into his recovery. And the seven eyes, to and fro, the seven eyes have gone all over this earth and found you. That's why you're here. You're actually here because of the seven eyes.
Amen.
And these eyes, they are what? They're observing eyes. They are searching eyes. But they're also exposing eyes. They're shining eyes. They're burning eyes. They're enlightening eyes. And they are judging eyes. Because there are things in us that still need to be judged. But not only so, as the stone, these are also transfusing eyes, infusing eyes to impart life and to refine us, to purify us. Saints, these seven eyes are with us all the time. When we're driving, when we're shopping, when we're at work, when we're at school. Sometimes you're in the meeting and your mind goes somewhere and then something you didn't realize, it's the seven eyes would say, don't think this. You might be in a meeting, a certain brother stands up and you right away a thought, a negative thought, an accusing thought, right, and the seven eyes say, what are you doing? Don't think this way. Don't think this way. There's the shining, there's the burning. But the judging is not for judging. The judging is for transfusing, for life imparting, so that you might be built with that brother. That thought hinders the building. That thought destroys the building. Oh, we need the purifying of the seven eyes. Not just there, wherever we are, shopping, on our tablet, on our phone, on our device. Have you experienced the seven eyes? You're just there, something, or in front of some screen, and you have no awareness. Someone's looking. We thought we were alone. Saints, you were never alone. Someone's there. Oh, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord, it's the seven eyes of the Lamb, huh? Because what he exposes, what he judges, he also redeems. We may need some repentance before the seven eyes. But don't run away from the eyes. Don't run away from the eyes. That is how he's working out God's economy. Four, according to Greek grammar, the antecedent of which is seven eyes. Five, the seven spirits of God refer only to the seven eyes of the Lamb and not his seven horns. Hope we're clear on that. The seven spirits are the seven eyes. It's not referring to the horns. Romans 4, the seven spirits of God. Of course, this is something new in the book of Revelation. Four verses here. Revelation 1:4. John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is coming, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne. In 3:1. and to the messenger of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Chapter 4, verse 5. Out of the throne come forth lightnings and voices and thunders. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And then we already read in 6. Seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Okay. A says, Revelation 1:4 speaks of the seven spirits who are before his throne. The seven spirits are undoubtedly the Spirit of God because they are ranked among the triune God in Revelation 1, 4, and 5. This is rather logical. 2, as seven is the number for completion in God's operation, so the seven spirits must be for God's move on the earth. 3 is very important. In essence and existence, God's Spirit is one. In the intensified function and work of God's operation, God's Spirit is sevenfold.
Amen.
This is similar to the lampstand in Zechariah 4:2. In its existence, it is one lampstand, but in its function, it is seven lamps. You know, this has been mentioned before. You know, sometimes we have a lamp in our homes. I think we would call it a three-way lamp. I don't think I've ever seen myself more than three-way. That is, you turn the little knob there, light goes on. Then you turn it again, a little brighter. Then you turn it three times, oh, very bright. But then you turn it again, off. But with the lampstand, you turn it brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. And brighter.
Amen.
And brighter.
Amen.
Seven.
Amen.
Maybe some of you electrical engineers could work out something like that. It's an example for us. Praise the Lord. It's one lamp, but it's intensified seven times. Seven times. We're up to 4, yes? At the time that the book of Revelation was written, the church had become degraded. The age was dark, and the sevenfold intensified Spirit of God was needed for God's move and work on the earth. Saints, you know, well, this is an upcoming message to talk about Christ as the morning star. You know, the morning star comes just before the dawn. But it's preceded by the darkest time, the darkest part. And this age is just getting darker and darker. The morning star is coming, saints. The morning star is coming. But until then, this age just gets darker and darker. Don't you have a sense that this age is more dark than 5 years ago? Surely than 10 years ago, surely than 30 years ago, for those of you older than 30, it's sometimes like being in a different country or a different planet. The age is dark. And it says in Colossians 1:13, we were delivered out of the authority of darkness. You know, darkness has an authority. Darkness has a power. You know, when I was very young, I was living in New York City, and there was a blackout. There was a blackout. The entire city nearly went out. You know what happened? Lawlessness. Looting. It was wild. It was not safe. It was not safe, especially there in certain parts of the city. Where there's with darkness comes many things. You know, it says in 2 Thessalonians 2, that man whom we refer to as the Antichrist says he's the man of lawlessness. And then it talks about the mystery of lawlessness, which is spreading, but not until the one who restrains moves out of the way. And brothers, I feel like that we're seeing that fulfilled. The one who was restraining, we don't know what that is or who that is, but the one who was restraining surely has started to move out of the way. And the mystery of lawlessness is operating. Oh, I sympathize with our teenagers and our children. You're growing in growing up in an age of darkness and lawlessness. And you know what happens? There's an authority. And you may not realize that this darkness has entered into you. In Ephesians 4:18, it says, being darkened in their understanding. It's possible to be a believer, but you're darkened in your understanding, in your concepts. So that there are things that you feel are quite normal and you can't understand. Why do older people react this way? Actually, it's because you're in darkness still. There's still darkness in you. And it's against the Bible. There are things that people think are normal, but they're against the Bible. And you wonder, what's wrong with the Bible? That thought is darkness. The Word of God is a lamp. It's light. It needs to be delivered from the authority of darkness. But how? It's by light. It's by the seven eyes burning. By the shining of the seven eyes, we can be rescued from our darkness. In this age, the churches must be the lampstand with the sevenfold intensified shining spirit. The sevenfold intensified spirit of God was needed for God's move and work on the earth. B. In Matthew 28:19, the sequence of the triune God is the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit. In Revelation 1, 4, and 5, the sequence is changed. I think we've noticed that. So John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, who is coming. That's the Father. And from the seven spirits. It's the Spirit who are before the throne. And from Jesus Christ. You know, if someone in our meeting would stand up and be talking about the triune God and say, the Father, the Spirit, and the Son, wouldn't you be bothered? Wouldn't you like want to correct him? Actually, brother, it's. But here, John did it. The Spirit is second. Why? Because of the need in the age. And brothers, we are in the age of revelation. We are in the age of intensification. Actually, this age of intensification began a long time ago. Sometimes I feel as the saints talk about the age of incarnation, the age of inclusion, the age of intensification, like it's for a future time. No, brothers. We've been in the age of intensification. The age of the seven spirits. The seven spirits of God are listed in the second place instead of the third. This reveals the importance of the intensified function of the sevenfold Spirit of God.
Amen.
This point is confirmed by the repeated emphasis on the Spirit speaking in all these verses to the seven churches in chapters 2 and 3, plus chapter 14, 13, and 22:17. C says, at the opening of the other epistles, only the Father and the Son are mentioned. It's very interesting. One, from the Father and the Son, grace and peace are given to the receivers. Many epistles begin, grace to you and peace. From God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. But in Revelation 1, 4, and 5, the Spirit is included. It also says, grace to you and peace. But it's also from the seven spirits. From him, grace and peace are imparted to the churches. Saints, today we have intensified grace.
Amen.
and intensified peace. Amen. Don't you want intensified grace?
Amen.
Don't you need intensified peace?
Amen.
The seven spirits. Open to the seven spirits, to the seven eyes of the Lion Lamb. Three, this indicates the crucial need of the Spirit to counteract the degradation of the church for God's move. The crucial need. Only the seven spirits can counteract the degradation today. Saints, we all need to be intensified.
Amen.
We need the experience of the sevenfold intensified spirit.
Amen.
The seven spirits are working in the churches. So the churches will surely go forward.
Amen.
Saints, the seven spirits are working in your local church.
Amen.
In my local church.
Amen.
So surely your church will advance. Your church will go on. But how does the seven spirits work in your local church? It has to first work in you, and in you, and in him, and in her. We all need to pray, Lord, intensify me for your move. I want to open to the seven spirits. Lord, I need you. I need those eyes. I need those observing eyes. I need to open to the eyes so you can search me, so you can expose me, so you can enlighten me, so you can even judge me. But also, Lord, as you're doing that, transfuse yourself into me in an intensified way. Saints, as the seven spirits, because he is sevenfold intensified, actually, we should have the faith that, as our brother mentioned last night, in 1 month, the Lord could do a lot.
Amen.
If we only grant him the proper cooperation, if we only open to him, if we just give him the ground in the depths of our being,
amen.
Oh, I tell you, in 1 month, the Lord could do a lot. I know some of us, through our experience, struggle with this, that, even maybe for years, brothers and sisters, if we're serious with the Lord for his economy, at the end of the age, these seven spirits will do the work. You don't have to decide, and you don't have to be held back by your prior experience. The Lord could do something this coming month.
Amen.
We have some grow up among us, and then eventually, for whatever reason, they stop. But we've seen, I'd say, especially in these last 10 or 12 years, so many come home. And more are coming home. Saints, never give up on anyone. Never give up on anyone. The seven spirits are there where they are too. And they have a deposit. They have a deposit. I've seen some, 8 years, I'm thinking right now, two brothers, 8 years, right after college, right after, they were not with us. And then the Lord brought them back. The Lord brought them back. Yes, especially one I remember when I saw him in the meeting. I was, is that so-and-so? I was like, can it be? And I was praying. Oh, I know we were singing in the meeting, and I was like this. Is that really him? And I was so happy to see the brother. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord. And I was like distracted the whole meeting. I just couldn't, in a sense, I couldn't wait for the meeting to end so that I could go hug him. But actually, when the meeting finished, he came right to me.
Wow.
And we sat there. We sat there. We were the last ones in the meeting hall. We're sat there past, I think, 11 o'clock, the two of us just weeping. And all the things he went through. But he came back.
Amen.
Came back.
Amen.
Sometimes when things like this happen, the ones that return, they're under condemnation. We have to, oh, it's not easy to receive. Even you have to be careful to say, oh, it's been so long. That's not a good thing to say. I think it's the crucial words of leading in the Lord's recovery. If I'm not mistaken, volume 4, chapter 11. Brother Lee talks about what not to say to people when they come. Oh, we missed you so much. Our intention is good, but, oh, brothers and sisters, Anyway, we shouldn't be those who add to the stumbling. But my point is this. My point is this. When they come back, the enemy will say, oh, you lost time. Oh, I know another brother. I couldn't believe this. I travel here and there and so on. And so one day I went to a Lord's Day meeting and I see this person over there. I said, oh, that looks like someone. And so we went into the hall like this, you know, into two lobbies. And then we turned this way and it was him. He came straight to me and gave me a hug. 25 years. 25 years. But this time he came with his wife and two children and they're all in the church line. But such a one, I tell you, at the beginning especially, the enemy lies. Oh, you lost time. Oh, you can't make it. Oh, it's good you're here, but look at how everybody advanced. Oh, brothers and sisters, the intensified spirit in such a one can operate. You can catch up. And Joel is the promise that he can restore the years that the locust has eaten.
Amen.
How? It's by the sevenfold intensified spirit.
Amen.
Never lose heart.
Amen.
Never believe the lies of the enemy.
Amen.
He's a liar.
Amen.
When I was in high school, we had a song. This never made it to the hymn book. You know what I mean? It didn't pass the test. Yeah. But, Brother Don, Sophie, you may remember this song. Satan is a creep and a big fat liar. We're going to roast him in the lake of fire. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Something like this.
Amen.
He's a creep and a big fat liar.
Amen.
Oh, I hope the saints would not take the lies of the enemy.
Amen.
Apply the blood. Apply the blood.
Amen.
The blood will release you.
Amen.
He takes away the sin of the world.
Amen.
If you confess, he forgives you.
Amen.
And cleanses you.
Amen.
It says he casts the sins behind your back, his back. He removes them from us as far as the east is from the west.
Amen.
He casts them into the depths of the sea and he remembers them no longer.
Amen.
Just say amen to the word.
Amen.
And then eat the tree of life.
Amen.
Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have right to the tree of life.
Amen.
Believe the blood and eat the tree.
Amen.
And enter into the city.
Amen.
And then day by day, just open to the seven eyes. The seven eyes of the Lamb will take you to where you need to be.
Amen.
The sevenfold spirit. The sevenfold spirit. If we grant him the proper cooperation, can do a lot. Can do a lot in 1 month, in 6 months, in 1 year. Lord, I open to you. Come, O seven spirits, come.
Amen.
Your recovery work be done.
Amen.
Burn and search me thoroughly.
Amen.
Don't you think he would answer such a prayer?
Amen.
Don't you think he's been waiting for you to pray such a prayer?
Amen.
5. They sing a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have purchased for God by your blood men out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. The song here is new because the Lamb whom it praises had just been slain. In the whole universe, no one is worthy to open the mystery of God's economy but Christ, the overcoming lion and the redeeming lamb. As the overcoming lion, he defeated Satan for God. As the redeeming lamb, he put away sin for us. Christ is the only one qualified to unveil and carry out the mystery of God's economy. We have to realize that Christ is worthy to open the seals of the secret of the divine economy. This aspect of the Lord's worthiness is universal and immeasurable.
Amen.
Saints, this scroll, he's worthy to open this scroll.
Amen.
This scroll is the new covenant enacted with his blood. Without this scroll, actually, the meaning would not, the universe would not have any meaning. This scroll contains the mysteries of God's economy. All the mysteries, all the things that will happen in the created universe, they're all recorded in this scroll and in the rest of Revelation, the book of Revelation. We know, saints, we know, for centuries, many wise men, they tried to understand what's the purpose. Many scientists even study, and they find principles, but they don't find the real crux, the real reason. But we know the reason of the universe. We know the purpose of the universe. And this scroll contains the secrets of God's economy. And he's worthy to open the scroll, and he has been opening the scroll since that time. I want to read this. This is from the Brother Lee. This scroll is the schedule of his administration in the entire universe, like a timetable of what will take place from the ascension of Christ to the New Jerusalem. The seven seals are the secrets of the universe, which are the mysteries of God's economy. Really, saints, if no one was worthy to open the scrolls, we all should just go home and weep. But after the Lord's crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension, no one should weep, because there's a worthy one.
Amen.
And he's here with us, even tonight and in this training, still opening the scroll.
Amen.
Actually, according to Revelation 5, his worthiness is a matter of his being qualified to open the scroll. We worship him. Lord, you're worthy.
Amen.
You're worthy. But I'm not sure we've ever said you are worthy in this way.
Wow.
We need to realize, Lord, you are worthy because you solved all the problems for God. You're the unique one. You're the unique one. You solved God's problem and our problem. You are qualified to unveil the mysteries of God's economy. And saints, also remember, this scroll includes New Jerusalem. So this scroll is eternally long. The surprise of the opening of the scroll will be eternal. We'll be in eternity, and we'll be saying, we still see something new. Praise the Lord. I thought of this hymn, this, classic hymn, Amazing Grace. Says, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Why? Because of the scroll. Because of the scroll. He'll be opening the mysteries of God's economy. There will continue to be surprise after surprise, because we're going to see this new Christ for eternity.
Amen.
Praise him!
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah.
He's the worthy lion lamb.
Amen.
And he's the lion lamb stone.
Amen.
With seven eyes.
Amen.
Oh, saints, may we give him the best cooperation.
Amen.
Even say, Lord, look at me. I like to look at you. I like to gaze on you. I love your seven eyes.
Amen.
Observe me, expose me, enlighten me, search me, burn me, transfuse me. I just love you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
This is Christ as the lion lamb.
Amen.
How about have some prayer with some around you?